There are bag rats. And then there are caddies. Baby. Pro jocks who are legends in caddy shacks across the PGA Tour.
While we can neither confirm nor deny the existence of this legendary looper,
here he is, the caddy on Real Golf Radio.
Yeah, the caddy joins us weekly here on Real Golf Radio. Caddy, it was a Players' Championship, one that we really needed, it felt like, and man, did it deliver. How about the way that thing all wrapped up on Sunday, huh?
Just like a major. It's a major. That's all I'm saying. Tell me that's not a major.
It doesn't even need to be a major in my mind anymore. You don't have to qualify for what. Look, the money that you earn, the prestige, the history that it has now, it's all there.
You know, in a way, I just thought of this. You have the four majors, and then you have the Players in a group all by itself. It's different than any other tournament in the world. It's just the Players. It's got its own little pedestal there. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler, injured neck, got through it, and then just basically, I'll tell you what's getting me. Is watching some of the interviews of the other guys. They're talking about Scotty. They're talking about him the way guys used to talk about Tiger when he was dominating. Kind of like, oh yeah, if he's putting, we're all playing for second. They're literally saying that. God, think about that. Athletes don't do that. This guy's special. He's reached a special level.
He has. And it's only happened in just a short period of time. Kind of like Tiger did as well. But, you know, the interesting thing was when Wyndham Clark, he said he didn't know anything or where Scotty was until he looked at the board on 11 and Scotty was right up there with him. And he goes, oh, yeah, of course he is. That's where he should be. He's the number one player in the world. I thought that was very telling as well.
How about that stat I saw on the gram? I'm addicted to the gram, by the way. If you haven't used Instagram, don't go there. Don't do it. It's like, don't do crack. Don't do the gram. Anyway, this guy said that he couldn't find an instance in the last 50 years where a guy was runner-up two consecutive weeks to the same guy who won.
Yeah.
Wyndham and Scotty, Fay Hill.
You're talking Justin Ray. I mean, Justin Ray is he's the statistician god, right? And he couldn't find that, yeah.
Couldn't find it. Man.
Yeah, he's
now,
unbelievable.
I'll throw it down. I'll throw the gauntlet down to Justin. Find me the caddy that's won 2 weeks in a row with the defense. Anyway, yeah, we're probably going to have to edit this show already.
Hey, so you mentioned the Tiger-like stuff that he did, but look, we talked about that earlier in the show, caddy, in the sense that Tiger was the guy that if he was behind, he would get out there early, he would post a number, and then he would say, come and get me. And the guys would kind of fall apart behind him. And that's exactly what happened. You know, you see Scheffler go out there and post a 64. He holed out on four. He was doing those kind of things that, you know, just incites the crowd, gets him fired up, gets him on a roll, and then everybody else is going, uh-oh. And they blink. You know, Bob mentioned, you know, that Clark and Schauffele blinked first. Schauffele, not Scheffler. And that's exactly right. That is Tiger-like. And now I thought Scheffler did a good job of blowing off the Tiger comparisons, and rightly so, that he kind of stands in a league of his own. But it can be Tiger-like, and that's what Scheffler's doing right now. It's Tiger-like in these instances.
Yeah, but the difference with Tiger, certainly in the majors, I'm not sure what the stats are on his 60 other wins plus, but Tiger was generally in the lead going into Sunday. He rarely had to fire a 64 to come from nowhere, as I recall. He certainly never did in the majors. He never won one.
Oh, his last one. His last one.
The last one, the Masters, yeah. First one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So he never, his winning percentage with the lead was crazy. It was like, wasn't it like 93% or something? It was insane. So Scotty's not quite like that with his come from behind victory. But yeah, the similarity is just that that idea that the guys are like, we're playing for second. And that's pretty rare. I mean, that, I don't know if that was the case with anybody pre-Tiger, except maybe Jack. You have to go back. That just doesn't happen. You don't hear those guys saying that. Basically, bowing down to the king. It just doesn't happen. So that's pretty unique in sports in general, but in golf for sure.
You know, Scottie Scheffler has come out and said a lot about the guy that that you know pretty well, Ted Scott, who is carrying the golf bag, and what he has brought to the table to help Scottie along. What is it that caddies or that Ted Scott does for Scottie Scheffler that helps him to do what he's able to do as the player and the guy that competes on the PGA Tour?
I'd say for most guys, most players, the key thing about the caddy is just his ability to deal with the player's psychology in the right way. You know what to say, you know where to stand, you know how to move, you know, you just think with the guy. The better you do that, the better. And Teddy is a psychological master, partly because he went through a 15-year training period with one of the most difficult people to deal with psychologically, and that's Bubba. I think I've said this before. I think that in my 25, 30 years caddying, the guy who had the biggest impact on his player success was Teddy with Bubba. He was able to deal with a fragile mentality. That's my opinion. I didn't really witness this in person enough, but it's just my opinion on that. So going to that point, you'll hear Scheffler over and over in interviews saying, Scotty kept me in a good mindset. Scott, I mean, that's exactly what we're talking about. You want to keep your player in the good mindset. Think about momentum in sports. Well, that's just psychological, right? Momentum. Oh, the momentum shifted, right? Well, what's momentum? It's kind of just a psychological thing, I think. You know, maybe there's a physical component that hasn't been measured or figured out yet, but basically you just, you know, you can talk to people in a certain way and it motivates them or it gets them going gets them going the wrong way. And Teddy's just a master of doing that. In general, if you talk to Ted or met with Ted, he's an incredibly positive, upbeat person. He just uplifts people. And everybody likes Ted Scott because I remember a line. This was really cool. So Fanny, remember Fanny, Nick Faldo's caddy?
Mm-hmm.
She went to, Nick got invited to go visit President Clinton in the White House, and Fanny was invited as well. And Fanny told me after meeting with President Clinton that she was pretty sure that she was the most important person that he had ever met in his life. I mean, think about that statement. That's how he made her feel, right? So Ted Scott kind of got that ability to just, you know, when you're talking with Ted, it's all about you. He's all about you. And that, yeah, I mean, just there's just incredible psychological master is what he is. And then you throw in the part that he knows the game inside and out. He's a heck of a player himself. If you watched him play, you'd think he's a tour player. He's that good. He's really good at golf, and he's got a lot of experience. He's been out there for many years in many situations. Won the Masters twice with Bubba in a whole bunch of events. Worked with Grant Wade before that. Yeah, it's just accumulation. You know, he's an overnight success after 20 years caddying.
Didn't we play with Teddy at CCNC and you that day? Wasn't that who was with us?
Yeah, that was many, many years ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, good times. Yeah, I love that you said that, you know, because you're right. Scotty says, Teddy kept me in a good headspace out there. And it's so interesting. You know, I think there's players that will acknowledge the caddy and his role in their success. And then there's players that refuse to do that because they feel like it's all on them. How much does that say about the player as much as it does about the caddy in that relationship?
I think different people have different needs. you could take that question immediately and say, well, some players aren't giving the guys the credit they deserve, or they're giving them too much, you know, whatever. Look, your job as a caddy is to figure out how to, have your player play his best golf. It's that simple. At least that's what I think the job is. You know, another guy I'd point out, just from observing and never having actually physically caddied alongside him, Greller and Spieth are another team that you look at it and say, you know, who else could handle Spieth like Greller does? Those guys are so good together. But yeah, sometimes you just need to totally stay out of someone's way. I remember when Bambi went to work for Nicklaus one time, he basically said, just give me the yardage. I got this. Leave me alone.
Right.
I'm Jack Nicklaus. I got it all. I don't need any help. And there's guys like that. Like, I remember Retief. I think Retief's good friend was caddying for him. He may still be. I've been out there for a while with him. But he basically told the guy, hey, listen, I'm going to take the book. I'm going to do everything. Just carry the clubs and kind of like be my friend. Right? So different people need different things. And so as a caddy, you've got to pay attention to that. I've seen a number of caddies have kind of an ego. And I think they get a little, we call it over caddying. They get a little too into the game and maybe overdo it with their player a bit. So, you know, some people are really good at figuring out how to deal with a player's mentality. And look, some people fit with some people. Some people don't fit with other people. You could, you know, Teddy might not work well. There's a player I won't name who's a really negative person, right? Not in a kind of a bad way, but it's just the way he is. And he doesn't respond well to the cheerleading caddies. And you have that person and everybody's telling him, thinking like, oh, you got to think more positive. You got to do, well, why? Who made that rule, right? It just so happens that this guy's a unique individual. And anyway, the guy who's had the most success caddying with him, the first day's caddying, the guy hits a shot over the green and hits the cart path. And he says to this guy, this caddy says, where do you think that went? And he goes, well, with your luck, probably out of bounds. And the guy just smiled. He loved it. He loved hearing that from his caddy. Now, who would think that's the right thing to say, yeah, right? But it's the right thing for this guy, right? And these two guys have been like the best one, another great caddy player combo. But, you know, really, who would think that's the good thing to do? But it just is for this particular player. So caddying's, they say golf's 95% mental, right? Caddying's like 195% mental. Or psychological, let's say.
Really interesting discussion. I love that. That's good stuff. Caddy joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Hey, I wanted to take a moment and talk a little bit about yardage books again, because that's after you carried the bag for those 30 years, you have been making yardage books for some time, and you just finished the Black Desert book, and I had a chance to play around with it for the first time yesterday. And the greens book that's incorporated, the pick book that shows the lines, all the information that's there. I've played this golf course 20 times, let's call it. So it's not like I don't know how to get around it, but there's some information in there that just gives you a check. Maybe just talk a little bit about when players are sitting there and they're consulting their yardage book, what information is it that they're studying? Let's say on an approach shot, you got some carry distance, you've got where you want to land the ball. I think so many of us think, how far is the pin? Versus what, maybe talk us through what's all going into a shot before, rather than just a laser yardage to a flag.
So here's probably what happened to you. Since you've played there a number of times, it's not like you don't know exactly where to hit it off of every tee. You know, I can only go this so far, this far, this so far right, this so far left, et cetera. And then you an approach shot into the green. Well, you laser the pin, you know your distance. When you start pulling the book, and I think this is why guys at the top level kind of get addicted to the process, right? If I tell you you're 132 and the pin's 8 over the right and the green's kind of soft, as a good top level player, right? you don't really need that A cover, and you just need the 132 because you're going to fly it there. You're going to even fly it past the hole a little bit because the green's soft. However, if once the routine is a tour caddy, I'm going to say, okay, you got 120 front and 12 132. It's 8 over the right, and so it's 24 32. That's over the right, and it's 3 uphill. So I've just done a lot more stuff than just telling you it's 132 and it's a little uphill. And I think maybe mentally, it just kind of starts locking you into certain precise targets, right? And a lot of people respond really well to precise targeting. What we're doing there is we're getting your mind off anything but your target, right? Mm. And you hear a lot of players say they play their best when they're really precisely focused on their target and not their golf swing, right? So it's just that whole process there, if you think about it. And another thing, too, is under pressure. A lot of people do a lot better under pressure when they're process-oriented and not result-oriented. Mm-hmm. So I'm not thinking about, I've got to hit this close. I'm thinking about, it's 24 front, it's 8 over the cover, da-da-da-da-da. You're going through a process of hitting a shot, and that kind of releases you from result focus to process focus. A lot of people talk about that. They just play better under pressure when they're process focused. Do this. Like, I had a buddy he was a really good kicker in college. I mean, he went to the NFL for tryouts and actually got beaten out by Adam Vinatieri. So maybe he should have kept it. But
yeah.
Anyway, I asked him, I said, man, how much pressure does it put on you when they call a timeout? And he goes, there just isn't pressure kicking. I said, excuse me, there's no pressure. Now, he's got a little different mind than a lot of people. But he said, no, he goes, you get up there, you take your steps, you measure to the ball, you take those two steps to the left. Very shortly after that, the ball snapped. He goes, you don't have time to really feel pressure because you're just going count two to the left. Here comes the ball. Boom, I go. See, it's all process. He's not thinking, I got to make this kick. He's thinking, I'm backing off. I'm taking my two steps left. I'm setting my feet. Here we go. Boom. And it just happens. So I think when you get that book in your hand, even though you've played the course many times, you're kind of doing process now stuff and target, precise target stuff. And maybe that just helps zone you in a little more. And it lets your body and the golf swing happen, right? Instead of making it like, okay, I'm going to swing a little harder at this one. I'm going to, post my left leg a little more coming through on this one. And yeah, I remember talking to Nick Price once about targeting. And I said, what do you aim at? And he says, you know what I do a lot? He goes, on tee shots especially, he goes, I aim at a leaf on a tree. You know anybody who aims at a leaf on a tree?
How many people can see the leaf?
Well, I never really asked, you can see a leaf from like 380 yards away, but it was just cool to hear how precise he was targeting. Right. And so, yeah, I'm trying to make the ball fly right at that leaf on that left edge of that tree. I'm like, wow. Okay. That's pretty cool. Now look, I can tell you too, there's tour pros who you ask Lauren Roberts about putting, where do you aim? And he goes, I kind of blur my vision and just kind of paint it down a line over here, corridor. So there's the boom. There's your devil's advocate, complete opposite idea. But you don't hear a lot of that. It's usually process oriented and precise focus is. I mean, can a golf pro really hit it 132 instead of 133? Well, no, but it's like Johnny Miller when he was going to half yards with Andy Martinez. What was he doing there, really? Because he probably wasn't even with 3 or 4 yards of the actual yardage because they didn't have precise measurements back then. And the pin sheet wasn't going to be right and all that kind of yada, yada, yada. So what was Johnny Miller doing? Well, he was just internalizing this incredible precision in his brain and, kind of making himself think, I'm this good. and I'm that precise, and look at the results.
I am drinking this up. I am drunk right now. I am just like loving every second of everything you're saying. And
Cassie has pontificated today.
I mean, like if you're a golf geek, like if you like golf at all, like what the caddy just said there in the last 5 minutes, just record it and play it over and over and over in your mind. That was gold. That was gold, Jerry. That was gold. Caddy, we're out of time, but that was so good. Thanks so much for sharing that. Man, good question, Bob, to get that one started. And, man, that was good stuff. Let's do it again.
What you guys just did, I haven't caddied for several years. And you just took me on a journey back to what happened, you know, what was it like caddying on the tour? And it's like I hadn't thought about this for a long time. But one thing I think I really enjoyed about it was you really get locked in, right? You get locked in. I remember Kisner talking about there, asking him about the playoff at the Players, and he was walking from here to there and doing this and that. And he said, you know, I didn't really see the people. I wasn't aware of the crowd. I was just so locked in to where I was. And that's what happens, even when you're caddying. You kind of get locked in, and it's a really, like, I'm getting goosebumps. It's a really cool thing to do, is to get into kind of that locked in mode. It's neat. I guess that's the zone, right? Maybe you can even get in the zone a little bit when you're caddying, like you do when you're playing a sport. But, no, it's kind of like, I'm like, yeah, that's one thing I liked about it so much, was that kind of, it's fun to do that, to get into those. That feel.
Well, thanks anyway. For giving us some of that insight. That is awesome. There you go. You heard it right there. America's favorite caddy laying it out for you right here on Real Golf Radio.